The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in. Touchdown.
Parsons has sacked it.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a wonderful Wednesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We are live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, and the SWBC Mortgage Studios alongside Nick Harris, Isaiah Standback, John Mashoda. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how we doing here on this Wednesday?
Doing pretty fantastic, can't lie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's been a good morning. I'm excited to dive into this one. It was a lot happening in the building yesterday.
Hey.
You know how, like, typically on Tuesdays, it's pretty dead around here.
Yeah.
Not today.
Wasn't a dull Tuesday around here yesterday. So,
no.
We'll dive into it, though.
And W not only stands for Wednesday and wonderful, but it also stands for?
It's a Purple Rain Day.
That the purple doesn't start with a W.
That's okay. You know, it does today. Today it does, Kyle.
It does.
Washington for everybody.
That's what I'm trying to go.
It's purple rain. That's
you just
hashtag.
Decided to just
the hashtag.
Knock it. I was trying
rain.
To set you up for.
I know. That's okay. I mean, hashtag purple rain. Just throw it on there.
I'm gonna keep saying that you're wearing a schmedium. Then under that hoodie is a schmedium Washington shirt. That's what it
look
is.
That, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that. You know what? Actually, before we get into the show.
Oh no.
Oh God.
Oh Lord.
I didn't bring Nick anything because I know Nick. Nick would not appreciate this, but
Nick, oh,
brought you some beads from Louisiana. You know what I mean?
Let's go
from the boot.
You know what I'm saying? Here you go, sir.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I left Nick out because I know Nick wouldn't want it, so I just left.
Yeah, Nick would not like.
Appreciate
this.
That. Thank
no
you.
No problem, brother.
Would you wear it if you would have brought it?
I would.
Yeah. You would?
Oh,
I have one at the house for you then.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Here, no, it's fine. I have it.
No, you got it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's good.
I got a little UW.
Got you.
How was it?
I may or may not have something for Nick, huh?
How was it?
It was good. It was good. It was a good time, man.
Yeah.
Good time. Yeah, no, it was good. Unfortunately, it was too good of a game. You know, I was hoping for more of a blowout, but.
You weren't going to get
that. That wasn't going to happen.
It could have easily happened. It was if there's better time management.
I tell you what, that fumble in the fourth quarter from Texas down like near the 25 yard line, that killed him. Like that was the killer.
You know
they were scoring
it?
On that drive.
Flea flickers when you're up killed it when you could have easily just drove the ball down.
I love Sark sometimes, but man, other times it's like dog. let's figure this out a little.
Come
bit.
On, man. Come on.
What's anyway. Up, JM?
What's up? What's up?
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
What's that hat say?
Oh, it's Travis Matthew.
Always on vacation.
Yeah, I am.
Always.
I'm happy for you though.
No, it's good, man.
I wanted whoever was going to get the best chance to beat Michigan, so.
Got one more game to go.
I think that's y'all.
This is cool, bro.
You don't think it's Florida State?
Well, I will say, watching that Alabama-Michigan game, I was like, man, these are the two teams. They just can't get on that level, huh?
Yeah.
Then couldn't play against them, huh?
All did that hurt scoring? A little bit more, like, just watching that game and knowing, like, having that thought process the whole time?
To win it all, they would have needed Jordan Travis. And so when he got hurt, I knew they were probably done. And then also just watching, like, Washington against Oregon and then in this game against Texas, like, they're just playing at such a high level.
Yeah.
I mean, Penix is playing at the highest level than any quarterback. I mean, he's playing like one of those quarterbacks. You're like, oh, yeah, this is the type of guy that when you play like that, you can win a national championship, you know? So I'm trying to think of anybody else that's been on that level. I mean, even Bo Nix hasn't been like that. Jordan Travis, when he was healthy, wasn't like that. Ewers wasn't like that. I'm trying to think. Am I forgetting anybody?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Not really. There's only that elite few.
Again, I'm a Florida State fan. So,
sure.
So I've seen Jaden Daniels, and I don't think he's that either. So he did not play well in either of the games against Florida State. I mean, so I wouldn't put him on that level either. But the way Penix is playing,
yeah,
I think they got a great chance. So
yeah,
you got to be pumped, man.
It's good, man. The job's not finished.
Yeah, no, definitely
not finished.
Not.
But happy to be having.
Oh, I meant like you get a chance. It's in Houston. It's
I get to drive down there. I mean, I was gonna go. You know? I mean, that's the plan. I flew down to Vegas. I drove down to New Orleans. I'm definitely driving down to H-Town.
If it was in like the Bahamas, would you fly out there for it?
Bro, I'm gonna row my boat.
See, I say in a blow up boat, and like it's not awesome. Even a real boat.
I saw so many of my old teammates, man. It was so cool.
Yeah,
so cool, man.
Did you see the center that had butt sweat?
What?
Did you?
I did not. I saw him in Vegas though.
Oh, okay.
I saw him in Vegas, and I told him about the show. I have to find the episode.
Guy. Yeah.
I told him about the episode. I saw Brett. He ran up on me, and I told him, I said, I have to find the episode
to
send it to you.
Like, whoa.
I know, right? But I saw all my other offensive linemen down here in New Orleans. My wife and I were actually walking on the streets down there on Bourbon Street, and somebody was like, there goes Zeke. I was like, who killed? There's only so many people that know me as Zeke. And I turn around, there's like all two of my offensive linemen and one of my tight ends. I'm like, yo, what's up?
Why Zeke?
It was my mom calls me Zeke. I don't know. Oh, Zeke, okay. Zay, Zeus.
Okay. So those were your names at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
you've changed.
I got
everybody on this show Dread. Was like, what was Ezekiel Elliott doing in New Orleans?
Zeke, Zay, Zeus. Those are kind of my nicknames.
That's funny.
People called Isaiah Thomas Zeke, too.
Interesting.
So maybe it has something to do with an Isaiah.
Yeah, Isaiah.
I'm sure he'll be down here. I'll see him, too.
Z.
Oh, I meant the original, sorry.
Oh, the original.
Detroit Pistons. Yeah.
Not that one.
That one too.
I've only met him once.
Okay.
I've only met him once.
Oh, but I didn't even think about it at that time.
Not your lowly Isaiah.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah. The guy he was named after.
Hey, how about the Seattle Kraken, huh?
I don't know.
It was
really cool. Yeah, it was cool.
First shutout in Winter Classic history.
Let's get into news and notes. We've had enough Washington talk.
I know.
Just really fast, the fish being thrown in the intro. That was awesome. That was awesome. But anyway, news and notes.
He tried to bypass that. It's okay.
I did. Yeah, it was really cool, but go Stars.
Anyway, news and notes. So, yeah, as I mentioned, you know, typically it's a dead Tuesday around here. Was not the case yesterday. Almost as soon as we got out of our show, caught word that Lyle Collins would be working out yesterday, as well as Damian Wilson, two former Cowboys. Wilson played and left around 2018. He was drafted in the fourth round of the 2015 draft. And then Lyle Collins, if you remember, went undrafted in the 2015 draft after a couple of pre-draft intricacies. They cleared his name, and he was able to hop on the Cowboys, played until 2021. Tore his ACL last year with the Bengals, but has been rehabbing and doing a lot of things over the offseason to get back to being game ready. So the Cowboys brought him in for a workout, and they signed him yesterday. So it's going to be Lyle Collins back in the building on the practice squad. That's where he'll start at least. And from the conversations that we had yesterday, they really liked where Lyle was at. So it's interesting. They add offensive line depth, and probably one of the guys I would not have had on my bingo card.
Both of those guys, like you said, playing with the Cowboys for a significant amount of time. And I was with Barry Church yesterday. We were filming Hit Sticks whenever that news came down. And I asked Barry, I was like, so are you getting the call anytime soon? Because both of those guys played with Barry. So that begs the question, Isaiah, which one of your teammates would be the most likely to get a call to still be able to play?
My teammates?
Yeah. If they got a call today, who was? Yeah, maybe Tom Brady.
Randy Moss.
Yeah. Matthew Slater. He's still playing.
Yeah, he's still going.
He's still going Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody on your Cowboys teams that would get a call from the Cowboys?
Nah, bro. Them guys are old now. I'm old now.
I was just curious if there's anybody out there.
Those were some kind of old teams, too. Like, I think back to those teams, I don't remember, like, a ton of, like...
youngsters.
A ton of them. Like, Tyron Smith was young at the time, but, like, I don't know.
Are you guys expecting, like, Lyle Collins to play this season for the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Not really. Are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I
thought you were going to say he was getting called
to
up this week,
interest.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
The thing is,
I think there's a high prop... If they're... I think there's a higher probability than people would imagine.
So higher probability than Martavis Bryant?
Yes.
Because I put him on a similar
thing. Yes, higher than Martavis Bryant.
I would say higher just because of the offensive line state currently.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wide receiver, if you had some wide receiver injuries, then Bryant would be
higher
on the list.
Yeah, that would be the injuries, yeah.
But if there's no injuries up front, both ways. I think it would take injuries for Collins to get up there, too. It would take a Tyron or a Willetsko or somebody like that. Adoga still battling what he's battling. Like, it would take something like that for him to be out there.
Yeah, to not play all year, and then all of a sudden you're going to play in January.
Yeah.
A full game.
T.Y. Hilton? He didn't do that, though. He had a little bit of a ramp up.
I don't know the background in either one of these, so I'm just asking. Who do you think showed up in better shape? Lyle Collins
definitely
or T.Y.
Lyle.
Hilton?
Definitely Lyle.
I think Lyle's he can step in and play.
You think he showed up in better conditioning than T.Y. Hilton?
My understanding, from what I've seen from Lyle, I've never really seen him like just out of shape.
Yeah.
There were a couple training camps where he was out of shape.
I don't think Martavis Bryant looked out of shape. But.
No, I mean, but the receivers that you have on the field aren't all being utilized.
Let me be clear. I'm not talking about like looking overweight and looking like a mess and then just being like shown up. I'm talking about like, you're in January, all of that conditioning you would get during a training camp season, all that stuff like that. I think it would be tough. But
Brian's a tall dude, by the way. He's on the elevator leading the game. I was like, bro.
Yeah, he's a tall drink of water. Yeah.
The one thing I did hear yesterday just from talking with some of the staff throughout is that when Lyle did come in, one of the – I'm not going to say a name or anything, but somebody said we'd be crazy not to sign him. He looks great. Like, that was just kind of the – that's paraphrasing, but that was kind of the way that it was said was – looks great. He looks like he's ready. He's able to go. So maybe I think you're on to something about maybe moving in the right direction. Is it expected for him to play? No, I don't think so either. I think I'm right there with you. I don't think he plays unless something crazy happens in front. And hopefully that doesn't happen.
And if he plays well, then that makes our jobs great because it's really easy to write and talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a pretty wild story.
That'd be an awesome story.
Stepped in and played in some big games for them in the playoffs, that would be a pretty wild story.
Question:
with how close he is with Dak and all that.
Question from the text line here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. 845 says, what does the Lyle signing say about Awesome Richards? Does that say anything about the rookie?
I just don't think they're ready to put him on the field yet. I don't think it's necessarily like he's cooked. It's just a development thing. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick. It's going to take some time. Lyle's probably, you know, eventually, like once he gets a little ramp up, he would be more reliable as a depth option than Awesome at that point.
Good.
That's my take on it.
No, I'd agree with that too, for sure. And then just the veteran experience that Lyle Collins has, I think that opportunity probably helps his chances a little bit more. With Richards, just because it's not now doesn't mean that they're looking at him like, oh, this isn't going to be the guy that we thought we drafted. I mean, I just don't think they probably love the idea right now of throwing him out there.
And he's a great locker room guy, too. That's a lot of people in that locker room. I remember when he was released, Dak Prescott was talking about how much he meant to that team in that locker room whenever that time came around. So
he's got his Louisiana fishing buddy back.
Yeah, that's true. And Lyle still lives in the area. He still has a house up north. So has an opportunity to come back and play for the team that took a chance on him initially. So.
The next thing we'll dive into here is Dalvin Cook was released to waivers yesterday. It's kind of cooked up some talk on Twitter,
and
I didn't even mean to do that. I think people are kind of split down the middle on whether Dalvin Cook would be useful to this team and useful to this running game right now. I am on team no. I'm curious what you guys are on, and I'm ready to fight the case on team no.
I'm on team no.
Let's go.
This is the first time I think I've ever heard of a big name free agent that comes available at a crucial time of the year, and Isaiah is just like,
man. Because of where he came from, the style of play that they have, and how they didn't want him.
Okay.
I'm team Florida State, but yeah, I'm team no too.
I was waiting on John.
A couple years ago, absolutely, but I mean this past year hasn't been great. So.
Yeah.
I think it's like less than 3 yards a carry, something like that.
Yeah. With all the injuries, I mean, and by injuries, I mean you're out of elevations for Malik Davis. Rico Dowdle is banged up. You've seen what Deuce Vaughn can do as a number two, at least for one game. I mean, you don't kick the tires, at least. You don't bring him in and at least give it an opportunity. I don't know if I'm on team yes or team no. I would rather see him first.
You were on team no when he was free before.
Yeah, but that would
as an organization.
That's what I think.
So if you're on team no when the hype was up there,
but you had four healthy running backs.
It doesn't matter if you're on team no and Dalvin Cook was healthy. Dalvin Cook going into this season, you thought he was the pre-existing Dalvin Cook, and now he goes on a roster and doesn't get utilized. Seemingly has beef with the organization. Mm-hmm. They mutually decide to part ways. He doesn't have any effectiveness in the game whatsoever for that team. Mm-hmm. And there's supposed to be a two-headed monster there. And then they let him go. Why would you now be on team just because you have one guy with an ankle sprain?
There is one answer to that question to play devil's advocate is money. It would be a lot cheaper than it would have been at that point.
A lot cheaper. You had four healthy running backs, including a guy you just franchise tagged that you thought would be a 1,000-yard rusher and be an impact player for your team, and he hasn't been that yet.
Is it his fault, though?
Is it Tony Pollard's fault?
Yes.
No, okay. It's not all Tony Pollard's fault.
Not entirely.
Yeah, not entirely.
Partially. I mean, if
yeah, but
he's Barry,
there's
Barry
a greater,
Sanders, he's Barry Sanders.
There's there's only one Barry.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's a blocking issue with this offense right now, okay? Just assignment-wise. The guys aren't getting the job done assignment-wise. It would be a lot easier to sit up here and say yes to Dalvin Cook if it was Tony Pollard's just not – showing like he has the juice, or Tony Ballard's just not showing the agility or the speed or whatever it might be. That's not the case. Not from the film I'm watching, right? There are plays that he could have did better? Absolutely. You can say that about any player that steps on the field, but I think it's more of a scheme issue and a blocking issue, assignment issue, more so than it is a running back issue. Now, would you like to have more depth? Absolutely. You always like to have more depth. Deuce Vaughn hasn't had a chance to prove
himself. Right now you have zero depth. And that's that sounds like it's a slight to Deuce Vaughn, but I mean that's just kind
of
how it is
right now. I don't know. One thing, so like, first of all, number one, I told you this during the game. Tony Pollard's blocking is being overlooked drastically.
Oh, he's been insane.
Yeah, he has been
incredible.
He's been
absolutely amazing.
It might be what like really gets him a deal
absolutely.
In the offseason.
His blocking
has gone from
a
serviceable reliability to one of the best in the
league. He's beasting out in the blocking scheme in terms of pass blocking. So for those that have not been watching All 22 and looking at that aspect of his game, give him some respect in that regard. On the backside, okay, in terms of who's behind him, Rico, from my understanding, Rico's not going to be out for too long, right?
Right.
So Rico's coming back, most likely, right? Now, whether he plays this week or whether he plays next week, nobody knows, right? But like most likely Rico seemingly is going to be back. That's me.
They haven't
projecting.
Put him on IR. So,
yeah, so that's me projecting, right? So you're going to have your two-headed monster there. So then all of a sudden you don't have a depth issue.
Is it a two-headed monster, though?
It should be. But like I'm saying, it's not because of the lack of execution from that position. If you didn't have talent at that position, I would be all about trying to find some other resources. But that's not your issue. They address their issue. They went out and got a backup offensive lineman. That's where the issue's at.
Do you think the run blocking problem is due to a lack of schematics or a lack of personnel? I mean, where do you feel like the blame lies there?
It's just a little bit of both. It'd be hard pressed for me to just put my finger on one more than the other.
I'm going to go both, and I'll give you reasons for both. We can talk scheme first. And shout out to John Owning from PFF. He put out this number yesterday, and it was pretty interesting. The Cowboys are 28th in outside zone usage this season, and whenever you think about Tony Pollard and what he excels
that's what he does.
I mean, he is sneaky good between the tackles when he gets going. He can find that little rhythm and he can kind of have that snake-like effect between the tackles, but you get him out in space, that's when he's best utilized. And then personnel, I think there have been some holes this season, especially when all five of those guys are not healthy. It's tough to be able to stack good reps with that. I think a couple of guys have taken steps forward in run blocking this year, but I don't think all five have. And especially there right in the middle, I think that's where you kind of look.
I'm already at the point where I don't think it's going to get fixed.
Yeah,
I think the best chance you got is to pass your way out of it. Where, you know, I believe that, like, who's going to what's the best chance to step up in the playoffs? Like, you already know what you have with CeeDee Lamb. Is it that run game? Is it going to be Ferguson, Gallup, Tolbert, Brandon Cooks? To me, I think it would be more for Brandon Cooks. I think that's the way that, you know, if you tell me they make a deep playoff run, you probably show me the stats and Brandon Cooks took on a bigger role. I think that's more likely to happen than, no, it was crazy. We got to January, just started running it. Like, I don't see this as too big of a sample.
110 yards a game.
Yeah. Do you, in your heart, okay, and did you deep dive in your heart?
You're okay?
I'm okay. I didn't have my Black Rifle coffee cup.
Dive deep. Dive.
16 hours of driving over the last 2 days. Do you honestly believe
it's down
that – it's down. No, I don't need it. That this running game, the lack of production in this running game, is going to allow for them to have a deep playoff run and ultimately try to walk away with a Lombardi?
I think it would be tough to do that without at least one game where you're like, damn, that running game really showed up.
So you think three out of four games you're okay going without a solid running
game? I don't think you're okay, but I think that you have a chance. I think with especially if they get the 2 seed, you play 2 of those playoff games at home, I really like their chances of winning both of those games, even without a really good running game. It's when you get to most likely San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. And so to me, I don't like the chances there of them winning that game. Maybe the running game does show up there, but I'm just at a point now where I'm not counting on it.
I feel like if you feel that way too.
I feel that same way.
25%. 25% of your games in the playoffs.
It's more so front loaded.
Yeah.
It's front loaded. I'm 50%. I think you can win the first 2 games with what you have shown on film right now.
I give you first game.
That's it. Wild card, and then you're bounced.
Detroit in the divisional game.
I give you 1 game.
You might be right.
Just beat them.
You might be right.
This ain't playoffs.
That's how crucial a run game is.
It's not playoffs talk. Hey, it ain't playoffs.
I'm aware, but like Jonathan Hankins will be back too. I mean, there's different pieces for both sides.
I'm hearing
you. I understand where you're coming from.
I'm hearing you.
I understand where you're coming from.
This is playoffs.
Which, I'm just going to say something stupid that I don't even know if it's the case or not.
Go for it.
There's just, I find it hard to believe that every team that's won the Super Bowl has just been like, ran the ball really well every one of those years.
Okay. I agree.
There's so many teams that have won the Super Bowl that you look back on that you're just like, they won because of this reason or other. It is because I feel like if that was the case, every single team would be built around the run. Every single one.
Chiefs teams with Clyde Edwards-Helaire was off.
I get it,
but I'm not comparing to any other team. I'm talking about what the Dallas Cowboys need to
the way that they're built.
I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I ain't talking about the Chiefs.
You're also talking about Super Bowl runs.
I am talking about Super Bowl runs. Okay, but I'm talking about Super Bowl runs and the path in which they're going to have to take to get there. Yeah. Right? You're not talking about the other divisions. You're not talking about those other teams. Like, the Dallas Cowboys need to be able to run the ball if they want to go out there and get a Lombardi. They need to be able to run for 100, 125 yards, like, without even blinking.
Yeah. So, in the four games that the Packers won in 2010 under McCarthy, the wild card game, they ran for 138. The divisional round game, they ran for 96 yards. The conference championship, 120. And in the Super Bowl win over those Steelers, they ran for 50 yards.
50?
50 yards.
Oh, wow.
Name the running back on that team. Who's their lead dog?
Let me think. Was it the big guy, Eddie Lacy?
No, he wasn't there yet.
He wasn't there yet?
Yeah, that was Grant. Before.
No.
Was it Grant?
Mm-mm.
Wasn't Grant?
Was it you, John Machado?
It might as well, but no. I don't even remember.
It was like
it
was.
It isn't like a big name player.
It was not a big name player.
I was going to say like James Starks, but I could be wrong. No.
I'm looking up.
You're looking it up. I'm thinking Starks too. I see the 44 in my face.
I don't know. I'm not a historian of the game like that. But I'm talking about this team.
Brandon Jackson.
Yeah.
Brandon Jackson. Yeah. In the Super Bowl, Starks had 11 for 52. So he was their bell cow.
So Starks was the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Starks back in the day. Going back to the original point of this conversation in Dalvin Cook, I'm on team kick the tires. Give it an opportunity, because if we're talking about a run game that can't be fixed, what does it hurt? I mean, it doesn't hurt anybody to bring him in and at least look what's going on. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. You move on. I mean, that's just kind of how
it is. Why do you think he left the team he was at?
Because they're losing and they're done.
If you do think the running game could be fixed, what would it be? Like, what could you do at this point in the season to execute. Obviously, it's not going to just change everything. But
execute. It's pure execution. It's no different than your red zone worries in the first half of the season. First handful of games. Everybody's like, oh, my God, the red zone's just trash. Same place. Just execute it better.
Yeah.
Execution. All of a sudden, now you're at the top of the league in terms of red zone execution. So I feel
the best chance for that to happen is probably those offensive linemen at best five staying healthy.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, but even when you have your guys, you still got to take care of your assignments.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm just saying, like, the expectation of this team, you need to be balanced going forward. Now, does that mean that, okay, CeeDee Lamb can't just light him up? Yeah, absolutely, right? But Brandon Cooks has been underutilized, right? So you can't just throw the ball to CeeDee in the playoffs, you know, and think he's going to get 200 yards a game. Like, it's just not, that's not a real thing. Like, playoff football, like regular season football and playoff football are two different things. Mm-hmm. Coaches aren't taking nearly as many risks. Coaches aren't going to allow something that's happened in the regular season to happen in the playoffs. Like, there's just certain things that just change. Your whole outlook changes. Your approach changes, right? The game plans change. All that stuff changes. You're no longer saving up stuff anymore, right? Now I'm like, I'm taking you out. CD, that's who you've been balling out. Listen, I don't give a doggone how many guys I got guarding other cats. I'm not letting you beat me. And if I'm not worried about your running game, then guess what? I don't really have much to worry about. I mean, obviously that's easier said than done, but I'm just telling you, like, when it comes to the playoffs, man, like, these cats ain't sleeping. These guys are not sleeping. That scouting department has already done all the homework on all the potential playoff teams. Every scouting department is doing that right now. And they have a full game plan, a full doggone binder that's 6 inches high for every single team that you might play, already mapped out.
I'm saying this right now, though. Without a run game, they can beat everybody but the Niners in the NFC.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, in the NFC.
In the NFC.
Sure. I agree.
I mean, we're going to really sit here if they made it to the Super Bowl and be like, man, what a disappointment. Like, pretty crazy. Let's just worry about the NFC right now.
That's fair.
It's been a long time since they've done that. Let's just worry about the NFC.
I agree.
Outside of the Niners, I'm saying if they get the 2 seed and they're playing at home, that's the only team where I'm like, man, they are going to need a little bit of a run game.
Okay.
I know you're going to get the break, but yes. if you make it to the Super Bowl and get blown out by Baltimore, is it still just like, It's a win. It's an accomplishment at that point.
I mean, it's going to hurt, but yeah. Yeah, it's a, I think it's
I'm
a,
curious. I'm curious.
There's going to be some angry people just because of the way that it worked out, but you made it. I mean, after this long.
Again, there's Chiefs fans out in the parking lot that complain about Patrick Mahomes. Of course, there's always going to be people complaining. I get that, but I'm just saying if they made it to the Super Bowl, regardless of what happens, I think most people would be pretty stoked.
Real quickly before we go to break, 915 says Lyle could be used in a jumbo package.
Sure could.
Just bring him in.
Sure could.
That's how you run the ball. You bring in Lyle Collins, and he's the answer if he's eligible. Only if he's eligible. All right, when we come back here on Talking Cowboys, we're going to preview the Washington offense versus the Cowboys defense. Almost mixed up my days, but Cowboys – Washington offense versus the Dallas defense. When we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys.
Did you get yours in, Kyle?
I didn't get them in today. I didn't get them in.
Disappointment.
I had some eggs, potatoes,
you
and bacon.
You sure did. Them eggs stank.
Were they?
Yeah, buddy.
They stink?
Bro.
That's disappointing.
Bro. Hey.
Why are you making fun of his
breakfast?
I didn't
buy you any hot sauce.
How are you going to tell us to eat breakfast and make fun of his
bro,
breakfast?
Bro, yeah. our hot sauce challenge, I saw like at least five of those stores down there in New Orleans.
Oh, they have a ton of them.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a ton of them. They have a ton of them because they actually sell products there. Yeah, like, they, yeah, that's...
I showed the representative the video of you. He thought it was hilarious. He sent it to his manager.
That's so funny. Of course they do. That's probably like a Pepper Palace, like,
yeah, it's gonna be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They're gonna put all LCD screens up in the window.
Just gonna put it on loop.
You wanna die like this, man? Come on in.
All right. Real quickly, let's get to the Washington offense. Who's playing quarterback, guys?
Yeah, so that's a big question, right? Going into last week, it was all week, it was Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett is about to take over. And then game day, it was like, okay, it's going to be Sam Howell, and Jacoby Brissett will be the emergency third quarterback. It came out later that Brissett had been dealing with a groin injury later in the week. I think if you're the Cowboys, you prepare for both. You know what Sam Howell can bring to the table. You saw him on Thanksgiving, and you prepare for what Jacoby Brissett has put together with the 87 teams that he's played with in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of tape on him. There's different uniforms every time.
Just a few different coordinators.
It's kind of a weird thing with me with this whole game, and you talk about the quarterback situation, just because it's like the coach obviously wants whoever gives him the best chance to win the game. But don't you think the front office is probably like,
chill out a little bit.
We want to maybe get a higher draft pick here.
They currently hold the number 2 pick. That is where they're at.
Are you talking about sandbagging the game?
Talk about tanking?
I mean, when you have 3 teams at 4-12 between Washington, Arizona, and New England, the number 1 pick's already locked up with Carolina, which goes to Chicago. But Washington's right there for that 2 pick. If they don't feel that they absolutely have their quarterback of the future, how are you turning down trying to get that 2 pick?
Yeah, it could either be Drake May or even Caleb Williams if the Bears do something crazy at
Another factor for me, too, is just
Michael Penix.
Yeah, but when there's new ownership, you don't think that new ownership is looking for something, especially if they don't feel. So you have the head coach who may or may not be there next year. Obviously, that coach wants to win. Tony, man, that final year of Matt Patricia in Detroit is why I think about this, is because they go and draft the corner instead of drafting Tua or Herbert, because Patricia wants to win right now, but what would have been better for the organization is getting Herbert or Tua, you know?
I love how, like, you're setting all this up, and it's almost like a tin hat theory, and you're talking about, like, the conspiracy when I bet you that's what's happening, honestly. Like, there's stuff like that.
There has to be people in that organization that do not want them to win the game.
100%.
They're not going to say it publicly.
Yeah. 100%.
You saw the Cardinals GM on the sideline against Philadelphia looking so uneasy.
Like he looked like...
he looked like he was going through it whenever they won that game.
And again, it's Cowboys Commanders, and if you're a Commanders fan or an employee, there's no way you want to lose to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think that you want to fall out of potentially having the second pick in the draft.
I don't think so either. They do have some weapons, though, and the players are going to play. I mean, that's the thing. The players are going to play because they're playing for their jobs.
The
they're playing for
win.
Their future. Coaches, same thing. Yeah. But whenever they've got weapons on the outside like that, is it something that is... Is it scary enough to concern you, Isaiah, whenever you look at guys like McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel? I mean, these are guys that early in the season we were talking about as legitimate threats, and all of a sudden they're 4-12.
Yeah, I mean, they're still legitimate threats if you allow for them to get down the field. Mm-hmm. So it's all about just getting back there to that quarterback, whoever it may be, even if it's John. You got to get back there and try to hit these cats in the chest. And
sorry, John.
Not for me.
I think it'd be great.
You guys would be fine.
No, I mean, these receivers are still dangerous. I mean, just because their record is trash doesn't mean that they're trash. These guys are real. They got 4 real receivers out there.
Do you remember what you called them going?
Compost.
That was the defense. You were talking about the defense initially in the season. And we were like, wow, that's a little harsh, guys. Mm-hmm. And now they've lost 7 straight since then. Yeah. So.
You said it about what?
The Washington defense.
Oh, you
said it was compost.
I remember that.
Yeah, you called them compost.
That's interesting to me just because I generally think of when we come in here that we kind of might trash the opponent. And Isaiah is usually the voice of reason, like, guys, don't sleep on this, don't sleep on that, or whatever like that. Because I always end up leaving here at the end of the week being like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't overlook that.
There was – see, and that's why I think that moment stuck out to me so much too, because he does that. Sure. He's like, guys, listen, like, don't – overlook the way this team can block or the way this team can set up the run.
You gotta respect everybody, man.
You gotta respect it.
There's at least one comment on the YouTube every week. It's like, Isaiah treats every opponent like the 85 Bears.
Except for Washington.
Yeah. Except for Washington.
Except for the Commanders.
No, their defense is not good, but their offense
we'll talk about that more tomorrow.
Yeah, their offense is very capable if they have quarterback play. And right now they don't have quarterback play. It doesn't matter what resources you have at the receiver position if you can't find a way to get them the ball. It doesn't matter how good your personnel is, doesn't matter how much of a freaking genius your offensive coordinator is. They have both of those pieces in place, but they just don't have somebody to give them the ball.
With what happened last year, with what happened down the stretch, where you lose to Washington, you lose to Sam Howell in a game that could have helped you out in terms of playoff positioning, does that stick in the back of your mind as a player?
Yes.
Does that stick in the back of your mind as a coach going into this?
Absolutely.
I think so, too. I think there's an element to this game of it's they still haven't had enough revenge. Yeah, they whooped them around the first time around at home. But there's
When do they whip them around in D.C.? When do they whip them around in D.C.?
They don't, really.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think just stepping in the stadium, getting ready for that, mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that they're going to be looking at this like, oh, this is the same Commanders team that we just play at home. I don't know how you could. If you've been on this team for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they don't go into D.C. and just blow out the Commanders or whatever their name's going to be for that week.
they're trying to rewrite this rhetoric around the road performances, and they can't do anything this week to completely rewrite that. They could go out there and beat them 70-0, and you'll still come out with road concerns going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But with that in the back of their mind, and you take into account that they lost by 20 to this team last year in D.C., it's a divisional opponent, I think they'll find the fire for this game. I'm not worried about that. I think they show up to play.
Here's the last scores on the road in Washington the last couple of years. Last year, 26-6, you talked about a 20-point loss for the Cowboys. They won in a tight one in 21, 27-20.
And in that tight one that year,
mm-hmm.
they won at AT&T Stadium 56-14.
Yeah.
So 27-20 is a real close game for what you were thinking it would be.
That's a great point. The year before that, 25-3, we remember that game because that was the game where Andy Dalton got flattened and nobody came to his help except for one, Lyle Collins, who just got brought back.
Good memory.
Just to keep up.
Good memory.
I remember that.
Yeah. 2019, 31-21, Cowboys win, and that was a tight game all the way up until the very end. You lost on the road in 2018, 20-17. Yeah. You don't probably the biggest win that they've had on the road against Washington nickname here is 2017, and that was a 33-19 win. That's the last time you really controlled the game throughout and won that game handily.
And I can't think of one of those games going to them and thinking that the Cowboys didn't have the better team.
Yeah,
it's not like they. I feel like the entire time I've covered the team, I tell the people this all the time, I've covered teams in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the two Robert Griffin years, almost every single time the Cowboys go on the field against Washington, I think Cowboys are a better team.
Yeah.
But the scoreboard doesn't always say that.
Let's take our second break. When we come back, it's time to hit some national storylines. Who are some of the teams that the Cowboys will face in the playoffs?
Possibly.
And possibly want to face playoffs. In the playoffs. When we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah Stanback, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans, and John Machota has our national storylines.
Yeah, so with the Cowboys having a chance at the 2 seed, you know, we have some changes to the scenarios, potential playoff opponents here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to update things and play the game again of who would be the best and worst round one opponents for them. Because we've done it before where we
Let's
thought it would be the 4 versus 5, but so right now, if they got the 2 seed, you're looking at the most likely teams they would face would have to be between the Rams, Packers, and Seahawks. There are other teams, but those would be the 3 most likely.
The what?
Rams, Packers, Seahawks.
You don't want to face the Seahawks.
Oh, stop it.
And you're on timeout.
Why is that?
Because they match up against you better than any of those other teams.
You're on timeout.
They have the defensive personnel to match up against your receivers.
So my thing about why I wouldn't be as scared about Seattle is because I thought for them to play Dallas as well as they did earlier in the year, that Geno Smith played almost the game of his life, and I don't think he can do that again. Why am I wrong?
Geno Smith also didn't have his starting running back.
Okay.
Against the Dallas defense that struggles against the run. So, yeah, they didn't have their home run hitter. So, I mean, they gave you problems still while Tyler Lockett was dropping touchdown passes.
Yeah. True.
So, I mean, so that's not a team that you want to face. Out of those 3 teams, you don't want to face.
DK Metcalf also had the game of his life.
Nah,
too.
Not the game of his life. DK Metcalf did DK Metcalf type things.
He's never had 3 touchdowns in a game, ever. Okay. He set a career high in yards, which is the definition of a career game.
Kyle, do you think that there's some Seattle bias being played into this?
A little bit. Yes.
Not at all.
Okay. I think Seattle's a good team. Don't get me wrong.
Play Seattle if you want to.
We all have our biases.
Yeah. Play Seattle if you want to.
We all have our biases because for me, I wouldn't want to play the Rams because I've seen how Stafford at his best. And so I think for me, that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you'd really want to see that. But again, I'm being honest, I'm just being biased about that. So it may be the Rams, but
look, Seattle to get into the playoffs, they need Green.
Yeah, I get that.
To get into the playoffs, to get the 7 seed, mm-hmm. they need Green Bay to lose at Lambeau against the Chicago Bears. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get in.
I get it. Hey, listen, I understand it's a long shot for them to get in, but if they get in, that's not a team that you want to play.
There's so much I can say here.
I'm more scared
of
the Rams.
And feel free to say it.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm just more scared of the Rams.
Why would you be more scared of the Rams? What do they have?
They have a running game that you have not seen before. Probably one of the better running games in the NFL with Kyren Williams. They have multiple weapons. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. I mean, they have a different guy every week that's stepping up. Tutu Atwell is
outside of Aaron Donald. Who are you worried about?
Defensively? I mean,
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing that can stop you from scoring.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a scary offense. And we've seen what teams can do whenever they wind the Cowboys down with a really good running game and they take over the time possession. It doesn't matter what they have defensively. And we saw that in Buffalo, kind of.
I'm more concerned about teams that can stop Dallas from scoring. That's my concern.
They can stop him by scoring by taking the ball.
We can sit up here and say any team that can run the ball effectively or be balanced on their side of the ball offensively can be a threat to Dallas's defense. We understand that. Okay, Dallas hasn't proven himself week in and week out that they can stop the run. So any team that has that ability, especially teams that are balanced to have speed on the outside and can run the ball,
that's a dangerous
combination. I'm more concerned about Seattle's receivers than I am about the Rams receivers. The Rams have 2 receivers, Seattle has 3.
The Seahawks just got outgunned by Mason
Rudolph. I hear you guys talking about what ended up with the end result. I'm talking about personnel matchups. Because that's what football comes down to, personnel matchups.
If Matthew Stafford was playing for Seattle, I agree with you. But
I hear you. So the quarterback position, that's a whole other conversation. But I'm just talking about matchups.
That's the scariest position.
So look at it. Who can, out of those 3 teams, who can stop Dallas's offense?
Oh, Seattle would be the team I would think had the better
Seattle. So if you go into a game feeling like Dallas can't score at will, that doesn't bother you?
They put up 41 points.
I was gonna say, they did just have a pretty damn good day against that defense.
They put up 41 points against that defense.
And that offense was scoring right with you, too. So I'm saying, it goes both ways.
The only way I'd say I agree with you is if they had to play at Seattle.
Okay, now that, yeah, that changes the game. Yeah,
but because it's in that won't Dallas, happen. That's the only reason why. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
What were you? Who were you gonna say?
I don't care with any of them. I think the Cowboys boat race anybody that they play in the first round.
Wow.
But
boat race?
That's at home. Give me anybody. But the yes. I would say
give me the 85 Bears.
Give me the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, give me anybody. If I had to pick a team, it'd be the Rams because they're the hottest team right now. You didn't see them in full strength when you saw them the first time around, and they have found that balance, and they have the speed on the outside. Even Cooper Kupp wasn't completely healthy whenever you played him the first time around. He's healthy. Puka Nacua is still a dude. Matthew Stafford's getting hot. They're able to get some stops on defense. I think that's the team I would probably not worry about, but the Cowboys are beating all three of those teams.
No feeling of Green Bay being the boogeyman like it's been in the past.
It would be interesting to see Mike McCarthy versus Green Bay in a playoff scenario. That would be interesting, but I'm not really worried about it as much as I think some people would be.
I'm not worried about Green Bay.
I think Green Bay is probably the best matchup. And for the fans who are wondering kind of what to root for this weekend, depending on what team you want in that first round, the Rams and Niners game is going to be a big determining factor in everything. If you're like me and you think the Green Bay Packers will just walk through the Chicago Bears at home, then the winner, if the Rams beat the Niners, they are the 6th seed. If they lose to the Niners, they are the 7th seed. And you're thinking, hey, that's the Niners. That's a really good team. Niners will probably sit everybody.
They're going to probably rest.
So there's a lot to play into that. That's probably what you look at. If you're rooting for Green Bay, then root for the Rams to win that game.
Hmm. Next one I had was what I think is the biggest NFL storyline right now, and is that Panthers owner David Tepper throwing a drink on a Jaguars fan in Jacksonville. When I'm watching the video over again, it cuts away from, it's a fan had a video in the stands, it cuts away from, like, I can't see David Tepper's reaction, but it's one of those where you wonder at what point will you, like, does the brain tell you this is a really bad idea? Is, like, the drink still in the air? Does it hit the person? Whatever. Have you guys ever been that angry during a sporting event where you almost threw a drink or did something that you know you would have regretted later on?
At a person or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay. Because, like, I probably wouldn't say, like, at a person. I don't let people kind of get in my feelings at sporting events. But as far as teams, I'll let teams get in my feelings at sporting events. I'm trying to think, though.
Yeah, I would never turn physical, like, unless somebody wanted to get physical with me or my family first. Then it's on. Like, if somebody wants to actually get after it, then that's their problem. But I'm never going to be the one to initiate contact, like throwing a drink at somebody or laying hands on somebody. Like, that's not happening.
I have a lot of emotional intelligence. I'm not doing that.
I'll just trash talk.
To me, that's a very arrogant, I'm better than you type of move from
you. You've played at such a high level. I feel like out of this group, you've had to have the most moments with fans and just other people that
tried to
provoke. You ever had anything thrown at you?
I've had racial slurs. I've had a lot of stuff. Nothing gets me there. Like,
physically?
Like, that's their job. Like, that's literally their job. Like, that's what they're there for, you know? Yeah. So, like, because they're not cheering for your team, you get mad and throw a drink at them from your suite.
Yeah.
Way to go, bud.
Yeah, that's a really dumb move.
It's a hole move. It's a jerk move. It's a bougie move.
Worse for you in the pros or when you're at Washington? I just feel like college fans might be crazier sometimes.
I don't hear what they say. I really don't hear what they say. Now, my mom wouldn't go to my college games and sit amongst the fans because my mom would beat somebody up in a heartbeat. Yeah. So she does not have the emotional intelligence I have.
Yeah.
So my mom would not like, she didn't like going to the games and sitting amongst everybody. Not because she's bougie, but because she might put hands on somebody.
I love that.
If they said something crazy about
That's true, because I was thinking, even if you're sitting around, like, that team's, like, you're all your team's fans, and you hear, like, somebody talking, like, I can't believe the coach is leaving Isaiah, and they're still, like, we need to put a different quarterback in, and you to hear that and be
takes.
Like, what are you talking about?
You know? My mom's going to snap off. She's going to pop off in a heartbeat. So, yeah. But, no, in terms of fans saying stuff to me, like, I literally laugh. Like, I loved being I love being that guy.
Antagonist.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, I'm not going to say nothing to you, but I'm, like, if you talking mess to me, I'm going to smile at you, I'm going to laugh, and then I'm going to go score.
Yeah.
Did you see the Washington fans talking to the Texas fans after the game?
Washington players. I wish they would have just walked in the locker room. But
there was like a whole group of Washington players that were just jawing at Texas fans in the end zone.
I'm a big advocate of silence is the best response.
Winning is the best response.
Winning and silence, right? And like, silence, I don't need to say anything to you. Like, I think the most smack talking I've ever had in a game was against Lodi Nada in Oregon.
That's fun.
Scary dude.
Yeah. I mean, he got me eventually. I got him, but he got me. But, like, I don't talk. It's just not my thing. I'm just like, okay, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Only other one I wanted to get to was just.
Well, I want to hear your answer on that one. Have you ever gotten to that point?
Florida State, little Florida State game.
Did you throw your drink at the playoff selection committee, maybe?
No. I mean, that's probably the most angered I've been, but it was more disappointed, like, sure. Whatever. But no, when I go to, like, Florida State games and that, I'm usually not around with, like, a lot of other Florida State fans, because most of the games I've gone have been Florida State road games. So I kind of know my surroundings, like, hey, don't be an idiot, you know?
That's smart, too.
Number one rule I've always lived by, don't be an idiot.
Don't be an idiot.
John's usually in a suite, so
yeah. I will say, though, think of being in the press box, though. When you are in the stands, you do hear a lot more conversation of things that make you just roll your eyes. I'll tell you the number one thing that bothers me, and I know nobody cares about the refs, but I hate when we're sitting far away and someone just keeps complaining about a call. I'm just like, there's no way you can see that from here. And they're just so fired up about it, you know, and you're just in the stands. There's no, like, replay or anything. You're just sitting there like, how are you? You can't. There's no way you could see this. You don't know if this is the right call or the wrong call or whatever like that. That one bothers me, especially in baseball with balls and strikes. I'm just like, we can't see that from over here. What are we doing? Mm. So I try not to get fired up about that stuff, but I'm sure there was a time. Not to throw a drink on somebody. I wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think so either.
NFL did send out a memo reminding all teams about their players reporting offensive linemen that are going to be eligible receivers. Basically, they showed a video of the end of the Cowboys-Lions game and made it pretty clear that, you know, it's the player's responsibility that, hey, you have to make sure that they know that you're, you know, trying to get away from the whole let's not send three guys at the official and trying.
So if the official starts running away, just like get in front of him, just ah,
I'm here. Report.
I mean, in a way, I think you do have to go up to him and go, hey,
they
you
still
said
haven't
70,
said 70,
whatever.
But it's me.
It's me. Yeah. I'm 68. But then again, if you do that though, then the other team is like, whoa, why is he going out of his way to go back up there? And then you,
or if you put your hands on a referee and stop him from running away, then it's a flag on you.
Right.
They just need to admit that. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
There's several layers to it. That's why people are still talking about it several days later.
We will take it.
That's interesting, though, to think about how extensive that one play, how much that's been talked about. We talked about this a little bit post-show yesterday, but if Dallas loses the game, the play you're talking about is throwing the ball to Brandon Cooks deep after the tripping penalty, and it's that scenario, as opposed to this scenario when Dallas wins the game because you got the ineligible man.
Well, they score on that, though. You're also, if you were a Cowboys fan, would be saying, wait, I thought they said 70 was eligible.
That
you don't think players would be
too.
Saying that after the game? They're like, why did 68 get? They said 70 was eligible. The other side would be complaining, too, about that same exact call.
Yeah. Man. Crazy stuff from last Saturday. All right, there's our national storylines. When we come back tomorrow, it's QB Vision. We're going to take a look at this. What did you call it again?
Compost.
Compost, well, Washington defense.
Even more compost than it was before.
Oh, not to say.
Can I throw in a quick note?
On.
They do run three off-the-ball linebackers now. They run a lot of quarters. It's a little bit of a different defense. I think
quarters.
It'll take a couple of drives to get used to. That's all I'm saying. Ooh. I think it'll be a little sloppy. That's all I'm saying.
Dallas by 50. All right, for Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com. And the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?